flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Fired up to get to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Talk to our friend, Mr. Santana Moss.
Tana Man.
Santana, what up, dude? How are you?
I'm good. How y'all, man?
Man, we good, man.
Let's start with your national morning show debut. I saw on Instagram you were on the Today Show.
Yeah. So I was doing something for Verizon this past weekend. I host this Fan Fest event at Northwest Stadium. What Verizon did this year, they had 30 different Fan Fest events all across the world, all across the country. I mean, to every city that had a football team, and they got, you know, veterans from that particular area, that particular team, to go out there and host, you know, their fan base. And so I was the host for our area. We had Mark Mosley there. We had Mark Ripken there. And then CP also was there. And then they doubled down and said, hey, you know, we need you to go and talk about the, you know, the event and how it went on the Today Show, you know, on Monday morning for us. So, you know, hey, I said, yeah, I'd do it. And I pulled up on Today Show. And it was fun, man. It was a fun time. It was my first time, and I think everything went well, you know.
What's your call time for the Today Show?
So I had to be there at 8:30, and I was going to be on by 9:30. So, you know me, I was up probably like at 6 o'clock in the morning. you know, it's New York, so you don't know what to expect. You don't know how far you got to go. And luckily, fortunately, it was literally down the street from me, so I could actually walk. But I had my guy Stu there, and he rode me there, and he just stood outside and waited on me.
All right.
It was a fun time, man. Great experience, and I was happy to be a part of Verizon and the Fan Fest that they put on for all the cities.
Was it what you expected?
Well, the show itself, I didn't know what to expect, B-Mitch. Honestly, uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? You know, I think one of the things I appreciate about so much of the TV that I've done the last few years and radio and different things that we do now with our pre- and post-game show, I was prepared for it. But I didn't know what to expect, and it was crazy because they were trying to tell me, hey, bear with us. And I'm like, I do this every day almost, you know? So I know how it is to be sitting around. I know how it is to be sitting around and get ready for a set. And it doesn't always start when you think it's going to start. So a lot of them didn't understand or knew that I was doing the things that I was doing back in Washington. So they actually found out that day.
That's cool. Well, that's awesome, man. I mean, that is a serious platform, dude. A lot of people are watching that Today Show. Were the people lined up outside and everything?
Man, I couldn't hear what you said.
Were the people lined up outside and everything?
Yeah, that was funny, man. Like, I got up, I leave the show, and you got fans out there with cards and things that they want you to sign, jerseys and stuff. So that was surprising to me. But like I said before, I barely ever watched that show. I've heard about it. I know my grandmother and mom them watch it. But I never myself personally, you know, I'm a guy that turn on ESPN before I turn on anything in the morning. And so to have that experience is everything. And, you know, having that experience kind of opens you up to everybody else knowing what you do. So, you know, I was, you know, very appreciative of them giving me that opportunity, you know?
That's awesome. Yep. Man. That's my wife watches it. Talking with our friends.
Does your mom and grandmama see you on that channel?
Well, my mom, yeah, they was locked and loaded. You know, my brother Norris, you know, he does TV and he does movies, so he actually was tuned in and he basically had it every for everybody who missed it, he had the link for them to go watch it.
So oh,
it was pretty cool. You know, I'm leaving from the thing and I'm getting all these text messages and DMs from people talking about they saw me. So it was pretty cool, man. You know, we do things locally and then I guess now with the YouTube stuff, you know, a lot of people see us do what we do sports wise or for the
yeah,
you know, for our local team and stuff, but to actually be on today's show, that was big, man. You know?
Yeah, it was, and I was getting a lot of texts myself.
Yeah. There's an interesting shift, I think, in media that the notion of locality has, like, completely evaporated, and it's more, like, when you guys do your postgame show, that going out on the Commanders' social channels
everybody
reaches wherever, yeah. Like, but there are Commanders fans in Germany and Iowa and Portland, you know what I mean? And so, like, yeah. I think locality is kind of leaving. And more things are like team or city based. Like, all right, I root for Washington teams, even though I live in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Versus today's show is just such a powerful national, international platform that it's hitting a different audience.
Hitting everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it was big, man. I was kind of, you know how it is, D. Mitch, when you're not sure about how to, you know, what to expect. So I was like, I had a little butterfly, like I was getting to go out there and catch a punt or, run a deep route. But once you get on that set, man, you're like, hey, man, I've been doing this long enough now. So, you know, once they said it's time to go, it was showtime, you know?
I always say, you know what you're talking about. Hell, they don't know what you're talking about. Look, whenever they ask me to talk about football or talk about me, hell, I'm an expert. Not you.
They're asking you for a reason.
Yeah. Yes.
Talking with our friend Santana Moss on the Rude Guest Hotline. Check him out on Instagram at 82-9. Tana, what'd you think of the Super Bowl, man?
I was a little disappointed, man, to say the least. I think I wanted KC to win because I wanted to see history, you know, I'm a big Andy Reid fan. So beyond what Pat Mahomes does, how special he is as a quarterback, I truly want to see Andy Reid be held to a higher standard, you know, when it comes to all the things he's done. I still believe he deserves to be talked about a little more in that category of being one of the better, you know, head coaches in the league ever. But I definitely wanted those guys to take him down. But like I said before, I was scared and nervous about the game because I knew Philly was the better team. I just didn't know if Philly was going to be that dominant, you know, that early in the game and throughout the whole 60 minutes, the entirety of the game. And they did. It was almost like watching our game when we was up there. The only thing I can say, I had a lot of confidence in what I, you know, actually endured or went through this year with our team, just seeing that even though we had that game, that last NFC Championship game where we had that many turnovers, I feel like we still had answers for what Philly was doing to us. And when I'm watching that Kansas City and Philly game, I didn't see the answers. You know, I didn't see the Pat Mahomes them having answers for that. And so I was kind of proud to know that our guys really went out there and gave Philly, you know, more than anybody expected them to do. And it probably would have been a better, you know, game if we was out there playing Kansas City and probably got a chance to pounce on them. But, you know, I'm not one of those gritter guys. I'm still happy that, you know, a guy like Jalen Hurts, man, who's gotten so much thrown at him, you know, he's able to host up that trophy, man, and to be able to do it what first time. I mean, I think he's been twice in 4 years.
Yeah.
So it's good to see him get his first Super Bowl, you know?
And I felt the same. I think Philly, Washington played Philly and handled things a little better than Kansas City's offense did. And I believe that looking back at the season, I'm confident going into next season knowing that they're going to correct some things. What are your thoughts on that?
I feel the same way you feel, B. I think when you look at you know, how huge the turnover was when it came to just getting guys in the building, you know what I mean, new guys in the building, getting rid of a lot of the old guys and surprising us at times getting rid of some of these guys. And then for us to go out there and play as well as we played out the gate, no one expected that. I know I didn't. You know, I was one of those guys, even when we were talking about predictions of, you know, what the season should look like, win and loss-wise, I was like, look, I'm okay if we just win two more games than we did last year. You know what I'm saying? Because I knew it takes time. You know, we've been on those teams where, man, you can't just come in there and have immediate success like that when you have everything new. And then you're expecting a young quarterback, not knowing how he was going to, you know, mature throughout the season. But, you know, having a guy like that, man, has proved to me and showed me that, you know, they're out there. You know what I mean? There's Jaden Daniels. Like people out there, a guy who's going to come in laser focused, already mature in his own right, have a good support system, have a good foundation, and that's going to basically grow week in and week out and develop himself along with the coaches and the players around him and be that kind of contributor for you out the gate. So I was happy to see us have so much success. And then now you look going forward, you say, well, we have a lot of talent there, so should we keep a lot of those guys? I say yes, but I'm not the guy in that. I don't wear that hat, so I can't tell you what they're going to do. But then I also know there's a ton of guys out there that probably was better than some of our other talent, and now they want to come. So do we have the money to go out there and get them, which I know we do. So I'm looking forward to just seeing what we do right now. This is the first time in many years that I look forward to just seeing some of the acquisitions that we pick up as far as free agents-wise and drafts, and then to see what they can add to the team that we've already have. I think we have a nice base. You know, they built the culture already. So every man that comes in here that walks through that building that they potentially say they're going to pick up this year, they're going to already know what the culture is about. Now it's about, do they want to be a part of it?
Totally. Talking with our friend Santana Moss here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Tana, I think it's also a unique time going into this free agency period, knowing this is a good team that can play at a high level and they could just get better. And honestly, just feeling a real sense of kind of faith and support in the offseason, in the front office decision making. That said, is there a direction you would go? Like, do they have to add, I don't know, a D tackle? Do they have to add a corner or a wideout? Like, is there something you think they must address?
Just watching how we played this year, man, I truly believe that most of the games are won and lost in the trenches. I do believe that offensive line, you can never get enough of those guys. And then definitely on our D-line, whether we add to there or whether we, you know, replace a guy or two here and there, you know, I don't know. I'm like I said before, I don't wear that hat. So I'm glad I don't have to make those decisions. But I think you have to be stout in both of those areas. Along with that, if you're good up front defensively, then the guys in the secondary don't have to worry. You know, they don't have to cover as long. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, but, you know, you can add a corner here and there too. But I feel like if you take care of first things first and making sure that front seven is intact, then now we can put guys up there who would, like we already have in the building, in Lattimore and Standerfield and whoever we have backing those guys up to go out there and do the thing. And that's the same way I feel as a receiver. When you have the quarterback position, you know, locked, now you have to make sure you have the guys there to protect him. And if you have enough guys to protect him, he can make everybody special on the outside. Yeah, you might need a number two here and there, but you don't necessarily do. You know what I mean? I've been on plenty of teams where I've been that guy. And I could do a lot of things, but if my quarterback can't get me the ball, then you don't know where 10 is at. You don't know where 89 is at. 89 hasn't showed up because they can't get the ball to me. You see what I'm saying? Because we don't have the protection. So I truly believe that the trenches should be first and foremost, and then behind that, you can try to add here and there where you see fit.
For sure.
Totally.
There is a lot of excitement, though, about T. Higgins. I'm curious just what you see in his game. He looks to be the biggest piece. Maybe Chris Godwin in Tampa, too. Maybe Cooper Kupp. You got to trade for him. But specific to Higgins, what do you see when you watch him?
I mean, watching Higgins, I almost feel bad for him being that he's out there playing with Ja'Marr Chase because he's arguably a number one on anybody else's team. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But he has to basically, you know, be weighed on the Miami Heat to LeBron James when it comes to, you know, his position playing alongside of Ja'Marr Chase. I think he can go anywhere and be that guy and be that dominant or whatever, you know, for anybody because he's just that kind of a player. If we add a piece like that to our team, I truly believe that he makes us that much better in the passing game because now you have a guy that if you want to double to Terry, you want to get Terry out of the game, you got to pick your poison now. You got to and having a T. Higgins might give Terry more opportunities because people probably would say, well, let's take him out of the game first more so than Terry. So He's a great talent, and he's somebody who I look forward to see what happens with him this offseason. I don't think T. Higgins really want to leave. I think he wants to stay around. So it's going to be interesting to see what goes on with him in Cincinnati.
As you look towards next year, Tanner, looking at what Jaden did this year, what do you think those possibilities are?
I think they're high. I think the one thing that I'm looking forward to see what he does, because I think when, you know, we've all been those players, man, and we've all had those that year two or year three, and year one was different for everybody. But as a quarterback, more importantly, he has to build off of what he did, and he has to be somewhat consistent off of what he showed last year. And I think he's the guy for that. You know, the one thing that I kind of keep replaying in my head is that year with RG3. You know, unfortunately, RG3 had a knee injury in that playoff game that now set him back from doing anything that he could have done to kind of get his body back. But you would think that when a person can't use their legs or do things, then they'll get their mental right. They'll get their, you know, they'll be laser sharp when it comes to the film room part of it and getting more, dive more into how these guys are going to come and probably, you know, play coverage to make him, you know, a better quarterback in that aspect of it. So knowing that Jaden is when I watched him a couple of weeks ago talk about different quarterbacks that he saw, just how from some of their mannerisms, it shows you he's a student of the game, and he's very, you know, he has a high IQ, but I know that he's also one of those guys that have a good support system around. So I'm looking forward to seeing this guy not do much, probably vacate, get away for a little while, you know what I mean, and rest up, and then dive right back into getting himself better, because, man, that's what you need around here. And I think he's one of those guys, he's one of those talents that he's not satisfied. We saw that week in and week out. Every week this kid came out and did something different than what he did before, and it wasn't less, it was better than what he did. So I think he's going to be one of those guys that's laser focused on just trying to be better than that, and also having a taste of the NFC Championship game. He's going to want more. He's going to want blood. He's going to want to go out there and say, look, man, we done been here already before. Now it's not new to us, so let's go out here and take this thing all the way. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing the second year for young Jaden Daniels.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then, Tanner, last one for me. How important do you think it is that Cliff is sticking around?
Oh, that's so big, man. Oh, my God, that's so big. I mean, you got to think about it, man. Like, not even being a quarterback, you know how tough it is to learn a new system? And I've been in them shoes for many years, man. When you bring a new system, man, now you got to scrap everything and throw it out the door, all the concepts, all the terminology. And most of the stuff kind of mirrors each other, but it's still new. It's still new verbiage. And so now having a guy that can just sit there and say, I know all this stuff, or even if he adds up to it, I know what to be expected. Now the guys around him who we keep, the only people that's going to be learning it is the new guys that we add on, and that's okay with them, especially when you have the quarterback intact that can help them and lead them through it. So I think that's huge for our team, but I think it's also even more huge for a quarterback, man, just to see that he has a chance to really grow with what he's already, you know, learned and don't have to worry about, you know what I mean, taking his mind elsewhere this offseason and diving into a whole new playbook.
Straight consistency.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Consistency helps. Tanner, thank you for making time for us.
Enjoy your trip, brother.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you guys always.
All right, bro. Take care.
That's our guy, Santana Moss. Follow him on Instagram at 8to9. Tanner, one of the best people there are out there, man. Cooler than a polar bear's toenails. When we come back, we're going to look all over the NFL. There's a lot brewing in Cincinnati, and it's not just T. Higgins. Charlie Goldsmith will join us at noon to break down all things Bengals and where Washington might be shopping. 1 o'clock phones open for Bleep You Thursday.
Uh-oh.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bleep happens. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Coming up about 15 minutes from now, we're giving away tickets to go see The Weeknd this summer at Northwest Stadium. That should be a dope show. So if you want to win those tickets, you better be listening. Charlie Goldsmith joins us at noon. A lot going on in Cincinnati. I fear a very promising young franchise just being undone by bad ownership. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Phone lines at 1 o'clock. Bleep you Thursday, baby. Brian, I saw White Brian in the men's room. He's wearing pink pants. I just thought, I didn't know if you were aware of that. I thought I should make you aware of that.
Salmon. Yeah.
That's what you're ordering for lunch?
Nah, not today for sure. If he wearing pink pants.
I don't know what this means. If you listened yesterday, we had a dude, Daryl Ryder from Cleveland on, who said he believes there's about a 60% chance Myles Garrett gets traded. And yeah, if he does get traded, he thinks it happens to the NFC, right?
Yep.
If you believe in the power of betting markets, and many do, Commanders are at the top of the list.
I'll take it.
This is via DraftKings, via the New York Post.
But I'm going to wait. I'll get my hopes up.
Yeah, Commanders at plus 350, then the Eagles right behind them at plus 500, and then staying.
Don't need
Cleveland.
Them getting him.
So I'm curious. I got asked this last night on All Ears. Does Philly's reported interest mean Washington has to be more aggressive?
I don't know. But my question is, how much money does Philly have to spend?
Yo, here's what Philly has done really well. They are kicking the can on a lot of contracts, but everybody is still playing well. Where you get really screwed is when you backload a lot of deals and then those guys suck. But they owe lots of guys lots of money, but they're all still performing.
What year is Jalen in?
They've generally gotten younger players.
What year is Jalen in?
Philly right now has about $14 million in cap space.
That's not enough to get him.
Depends what you move around. Jalen is, from a contract perspective, so Jalen is 20 is going to be 27 this season, $42 million guarantees, but his cap number is about $22 million. Nothing out of whack for a quarterback. Next year, that jumps to a $22 million guarantee, a $32 million cap number. That jumps to 11%. But generally, the rule of thumb is a quarterback salary could be 10, 13% of your cap.
Yeah, but I'm saying, was Jalen, was Brown, what's Devontae?
So the two highest guarantees on their Eagles roster are Jalen and then A.J. Brown. Between the two of them this year, their cap number is about $40 million, roughly.
All right.
You're not getting rid of either of those this year. Lane Johnson, Josh Sweat. Josh Sweat's a void year. He's going to be a free agent, whether they can get him to stick around. I mean, maybe you could figure something out with a guy like Jordan Mailata, who has a $19 million guarantee. It's wild to look at the Saquon number. Jalen Carter has a less than $3 million cap figure.
Wow. He's on his rookie deal.
I'm sorry, that's his guaranteed money.
What's Saquon?
Saquon's deal is incredibly affordable, dude. Saquon has $11 million guaranteed this upcoming season, and he's a little over $7 million on the cap. And then the following year, he has $1.5 million guaranteed. Even though he got paid by Philly for the market, the value delivered versus, you know, the cost is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
But that's where you hit, man. When you get those guys, like you said, still playing well. And that's what they got to figure out.
You just reminded me of something. Mekhi Becton, mm-hmm. who some Commanders fans have said, hey, check him out. He's going to be a free agent. I thought this was so funny. My boy John Clark covers the Eagles up in Philly. He had so I guess the parade for the Eagles is today. And Mekhi Becton said, I'm going to be drunker than I've ever been in my life. That's the right way to approach it, man.
Hell yeah.
Do you think the Eagles are a real threat, or Howie just wants to run the cost up on anybody else?
I don't think Howie's going to get involved if he's not trying to get somebody.
Yeah, man. They have such a track record of...
And the fact that they are that loaded, I can see a lot of people wanting to jump that way. So,
well, and if you're Garrett, wouldn't you want to go there?
If you want to play with the big boys, you're going to have to play big money, so... If we get into it, we got to get into it for real. Don't go around playing.
Now, one complicating factor in this for Philly is Bond. And yeah. I would imagine they want Bond, right?
But suppose somebody come in and offer so much that they're going to blow them out the water. I think trying to keep Bond and doing some other stuff may affect them trying to move into the other market. Because they could talk to Bond right now. They can get involved with him and try to see what's up with him early. But I know people talk about that, what they say, hometown deal. But nobody kept the right thing about on hometown deals.
Bro, I am shocked by this.
What?
I almost feel like something's got to be off here.
Off on what?
So I think an easy path for the Eagles would be to franchise Bond. I feel like this can't be right. But according to Over the Cap, the franchise tag for a linebacker is $27 million.
For an outside linebacker?
That's got to be in a third season or something.
Hey, what position, when we go through all these guys, what are their rank? What's the guy in Pittsburgh? Is he a linebacker or DN? Pass rusher.
What?
Is he a linebacker or a DN?
Yeah. I know that you see that debate with tight ends and wide receivers. something. All right, so the franchise tag figure is determined by the top five players at that position.
Yeah.
It can't just be on-ball linebackers then. It just it doesn't add up. They've got to be including edge rushers in this because there's just
– But does the league include edge rushers?
I don't know. I mean, over the cap's usually the expert because it's pretty clear that the top five salaries of edge rushers, Bosa, Josh Hines-Allen, Brian Burns, T.J. Watt, Miles Garrett, it fluctuates 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 between $25 and $34 million, which averages out to about
$27. Mm-hmm. Could that be just a misprint then?
It could because they have DNs on here too, which is about $25 million. Here's what I know. If the franchise tag for an on-ball Mike linebacker is that high, they're not going to use a $27 million franchise tag on Zach Bond.
No.
They're not.
But does he play Mike? I thought he plays outside.
I mean, they're probably playing only two of them anyway, most of the time. Here, the comps for him are Roquan, Warner, Milano, Queen. Do you agree with that from a player standpoint?
Yeah.
Like, the highest paid one of those dudes is Roquan at 20.
Okay.
That's probably what Bond thinks he's getting, where the salary belongs. But if the franchise tag is $27 million, you can't use that thing.
Can't use it, but if that's what it is, then the league.
I'll tell you what, Roquan wants him to use it. Fred Warner wants him to use it.
So, you know.
That's crazy, dude. I think
that may be a misprint.
For me, B, Peters, Quinn, Harris, Newmark, whoever.
They'll figure it out.
Joe Witt. I think you have to establish what your value is for Garrett, what you're willing to pay. And I don't think you should change what you're willing to pay because Philly's involved.
Now you can't let another team dictate what you do,
right?
Because then you'll be played the rest of the however things go. Then they're not going to do that. I don't believe.
Say you're working with Leahy, right? You're buying or selling a house, mm-hmm. and you and John sit down and you come up with your game plan, and it is all right. The highest I can go is $1 million.
Yeah,
and then you get into a bidding war, and the other dude is at 1.1. Just because
I went to a million, I'm not going any higher.
Just because you went to high school with them and hate them, you can't go to 1.2, dude. Just,
you don't have it.
It's money. It's math.
Yep.
So I know people will say, "Well, you got to keep them off the Eagles."
Sometimes you can't worry about the other team as much as you have to worry about yours.
Right. We got Charlie Goldsmith joining the program at noon. Giving away tickets for the weekend next. This is the moment you've been waiting for. I actually thought the weekend was a very good Super Bowl halftime performance a couple years back. Yeah. Now, granted, it was COVID and nobody had seen anything in a while, and he was in this like crazy house of mirrors, but I like the weekend. If you like the weekend, caller number 10 right now, you win a pair of tickets to see the weekend after hours tour Saturday, August 2nd at Northwest Stadium. He's with Playboi Carti and Mike Dean. For tickets and more event information, visit 1067thefan.com. Caller 10, right now, you get to go see The Weeknd. It's that simple. That'll be a dope show, man. B, I'm curious, have you seen Jermaine Pratt has now requested a trade from Cincinnati? Pratt was the leading tackler in Cincy last year, also had two picks, two forced fumbles. He's been a starter in his, I guess, five-year time in Cincinnati. The Bengals fired Lou Anarumo, who's a good defensive coordinator, and they basically just fired somebody because they missed the playoffs and didn't want to have to pay for a new head coach.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Anarumo was a scapegoat. The defense wasn't very good this year, but they just let a ton of good players leave that defense.
Yep.
Charlie Goldsmith covers the Bengals. We're going to talk to Charlie here in a minute. But I don't know if fear is the right word. I kind of like the Bengals. I like Burrow. I like Chase. I like them being a real threat in the AFC. I kind of feel like that era is about to end.
If they don't have defense, they can have what they want on offense.
I mean, that's what that happened this year.
He can throw the ball. Hell, he threw the ball. He was 100 and plus, 150, almost 150 passes more than anybody else in the league. He let it fly. They scored, but they were always down.
Yeah. I agree with you, man. I don't know how that thing gets better. I just think ownership there is not committed to winning.
Nah.
And
they have always been the penny pinchers, though. If they pay a certain group, they ain't paying the other side.
And I wonder if they get this thing done with Chase. They got close last year.
Close. Horseshoes and hand grenades, brother.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like it stinks that what was a cool young team.
28 years old, 6 years experience, 6'3", 250.
What's your interest level in a guy like Pratt?
If he's a tackling machine, I like him.
I mean.
You know, I like people that take people to the ground. I don't like people that throw forearms.
He's from High Point, North Carolina, went to NC State.
Closer to home.
Yeah, man. I mean, this dude has at least 118 tackles in the last two seasons. Durable. In 5 years, 6 years in the NFL, has missed, I don't know, four. Probably as good as Wagner. We'll see if Wagner sticks around. I would think Bobby wants to stick around.
What's your gut telling you? He's around or not?
I don't know, B, because he's a West Coast guy. And I wonder what, if any, call for Pete Carroll comes. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do the Raiders have to go? But when Wagner came here, a lot of people were like, man, you're going to Washington? That team stinks. They were proven wrong. But he's the kind of guy that might be like, no team I'm on stinks, you know?
There you go.
What's your gut tell you on Wagner?
I think he'll be back. I think I just look at the relationship he and Jaden built, and I look at how much the defensive coaches respect him, not just his play, but also him as a person, that they listen to a lot of the stuff he said. So he is in a position where not only he's a player, but they do take the things he says about what they should implement and not. You know, and I know he played under Pete, but you know what? The defensive side of the ball, that coordinator is probably closer to that player than the head coach is.
Sure. He hadn't played for Quinn since, I don't know, 18 or whatever.
Hmm?
17 probably. When did DQ leave? I mean, DQ was in Atlanta a long time.
But you look at the things he did when he was under him.
Yeah, that's when
sometimes
they won the
that
Super Bowl.
Sticks.
Yeah. And just the way DQ is, the type of, I mean, that dude built
bonds. I tell you, just watching him operate, I would love to play for him.
What's crazy is Wagner hadn't played for him since 2014. It's been a while.
But he sure came here and signed with a whole new start over. He came here, right?
Yeah. Well, what I think is interesting, I don't want to say no options, because obviously he had options, but Wagner, the year before, it wasn't like the first day of free agency. You know what I mean?
But not many guys get signed on the first day.
It was pretty quick. I mean, a lot of dudes are getting signed when the tampering period opens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but those are normally the – when you see those guys there, those are guys that not that – they ain't that old. They're younger and they're in their prime, and they gonna wipe them off.
Right. You know, my point is, I don't know that over the last two seasons, when he signed with the Rams 2 years ago, and then when he signed here, there was a lot of like, oh, what does Bobby have left? After this year, where he was fantastic, makes a second team All Pro, I wonder if that conversation has shifted, or do you think it remains just because of
people
the
gonna say just because of his age?
Yeah.
But that is what I think they are still talking about the same crap they talked about when I before I turned 30 years old, people were talking about the 30-year-old thing. I'm 56 now, and they're still using that excuse. How many guys are playing beyond 30?
Sure.
Tons.
Yeah.
So you have to forget some of that and just watch how they play. Watch what they're doing. Now, I understand if a guy is at 30, right at over 30, he's been hurt a lot, missed a lot of games over seasons, yes. But if that guy ain't missing no games, you can't be using that as an excuse.
Charlie Goldsmith will join the program next.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.